Exodus 32 is the first of three scriptures I want to read to you, and they are connected with the messages of the previous weeks about Moses, the maker and marrer of type. So now let's look at Exodus 32, starting at verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden rings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden rings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron, and he received it at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, and made it a molten calf. And they said, These are thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, Leviticus 10, starting at verse 16, Nadab and Abihu have offered strange fire, have been smitten of God. They're dead, they're carried out. And now it says in verse 16, And Moses diligently sought the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burnt. And he was angry with Eleazar and with Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, that were left, saying, Wherefore have ye not eaten the sin offering in the place of the sanctuary, seeing it is most holy, and he hath given it to you to bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord? Behold, the blood of it was not brought into the sanctuary within. Ye should certainly have eaten it in the sanctuary, as I commanded. And Aaron spake unto Moses, Behold, this day have they offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and there have befallen me such things as these. And if I had eaten the sin offering today, would it have been well pleasing in the sight of the Lord? And when Moses heard that, it was well pleasing in his sight. Number 20. The people are demanding water again. And in Numbers chapter 20, at verse 6, Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tent of meeting and fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod and assemble the congregation, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, that it give forth its water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their cattle drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, shall we bring you forth water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and smote the rock with his rod twice, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their cattle. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe not in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us cause joyful things to happen to thy people who obey thee. We have read this night of severe consequences of those who have disobeyed thee. We pray that we shall learn, that we shall take heed, that we shall escape judgments such as these because of our disobedience to the commands of God. Let us know that even if we do thy will, we can suffer at the hands of men. But our Father, we shall not suffer at thy hand. And so from the portions that we've read tonight, bring them together, show the relationship, our Father, and teach us the lessons in our hearts. Hear us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Moses was not alone as the maker and marrer of types. In case you weren't here, a marrer is one who is molding from clay a pot on the wheel, and something goes wrong and it's marred. It's not what it should be. Moses, I showed you in past weeks, was the maker, at times a beautiful maker of types, and I showed you he was a marrer of types as well. But it's strange that in the portions I read you tonight, let me ask you, who was with Moses when he smote that rock twice? You say, Aaron was, yes. And who was with Nadab and Abihu when they offered strange fire? You say, Aaron was. Well then, it is not Moses alone who is the maker and marrer of type, but Aaron, his brother, was with him as well. And why is it that we always speak of Moses, who sinned and was prohibited from entering the promised land because of his disobedience? And I tried to emphasize the word. The Lord said, ye shall speak unto the rock. And he said, ye have not sanctified me in the eyes of the people. You is singular in the King James or Old English, and ye is plural. And he said, ye shall speak unto the rock. Now, keep these things in mind. Then, what has happened is that Moses has taken the prominence, and Nadab and Abihu have taken the prominence in the marring of type. But if Aaron desired to, he could say, I was there, and I'm censurable also. But for some reason, we only think of Nadab and Abihu, and we only think of Moses when he erred in smiting the rock twice. Now, last week, I told you that Moses failed in a threefold way. As to the circumcising of his son, Gershom, as for refusing to be the sent one who spoke for God, and as the one who, before the congregation, misrepresented God in the eyes of the people. Think. Therefore, the Lord placed upon him a personal responsibility. He said, now I want you to go and be a representative of me as the sent one, and I want you to speak for me. I will send you, I will be with your mouth, I will tell you everything to say, and I want you to speak. And Moses failed personally. When God, in Exodus 4, sought to kill him, it was not Moses personally failing, but he failed in his relationship to his family. He had not been the head of his house. He had not enforced what God had commanded in Genesis chapter 17, and so he failed in relation to his family. And then I read it to you again tonight, when God gave him a responsibility to the congregation of Israel, he failed in his responsibility to them as well. As an individual, as a family man and as a representative of God before the people. Now, in like manner, when I read you tonight, it was Aaron all by himself in Exodus 32 who made the golden calf, not his sons, not his brother. He was alone. He failed in his personal responsibility in Exodus chapter 32. And then as priest of the children of Israel, he failed in his responsibility to the congregation as priest, and then he failed also in his responsibility to the congregation as a joint worker with his brother Moses. And so by himself and with his children and with his brother, he was a mower type. You say, I see his failure, but in what way did Aaron mar type? Well, in this threefold way. Think now. When Christ was on earth, here he is. He is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, but he is also a priest after the likeness of Aaron. And Aaron is as much a type of Christ as Melchizedek is. But he was not a priest after the order of Aaron. He was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, but after the likeness of Aaron. We are told that in the book of Hebrews. But enough of that. I just wanted you to see that he is the representative of Christ as priest, but in other ways as well. And in Exodus 32, he is the representative of God's law, and he failed in this respect. In Numbers chapter 16, the children of Israel were told to wear a band, a fringe of blue on all their garments, and God said to them, and when you look upon it, you shall remember all of my commandments to do them. Here is a nation that was given commandments by God, and whenever they looked at that ribbon of blue around the fringe of their garment, then they were to see that they were to remember all the commands God gave them, and they were to do those commands. And here is Aaron, the representative of the nation of Israel. Now think, there was another man, and he was tempted as well. He was in the wilderness 40 days, as Moses was gone in the mountain 40 days, and he was tempted by Satan. And Satan said, I will give you everything if you will fall down and worship me. And the Lord Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And here is another man, and the people speak to Aaron, and they tempt him. And Aaron, rather than take a stand as he of whom he is a type, and refuse to do the command of the people, instead of saying, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve, Aaron, in destroying and marring himself as the type of Christ, says, bring your gold ornaments, and I will make you a golden calf, and you shall fall down and worship that calf. You see? Destroyed. Indeed, he was a maker of type so beautifully as the high priest. He functioned well in so many ways, just as Moses made type, so Aaron made type. But that he made type correctly on one occasion does not mean that he's going to make them correctly on the other. And in this instance, he marred the type, because God would delight to set forth Aaron as the man who remembered and did all God's commands. But he could not do it. And let me emphasize again, the color blue and the ribbon of blue is not Christ the Heavenly One. I keep telling people, you can look endlessly in the Bible to ever find blue as Christ the Heavenly One. Christ the Heavenly One is depicted in the birds of the heaven. You look at every reference to the word blue in the Bible, and it never suggests it at all. It's just something that came to mind. Well, the sky is blue, and the sky is heaven, and Christ came down from heaven. That is our imagination. But you find the color blue in Numbers 16, and God said, that blue is to remind you of all my commands. You are to remember them and do them. And so blue is the color of Christ, the rememberer and doer of all the commands of God. It's so elementary, for the Lord explains it to you. And if I challenge you to show me how blue is Christ, the Heavenly One, you would say, well, the sky is blue. Yes, so is the ocean. Other things you can think of with your own mind. Look and let God interpret His own words. And if you're not careful, you will listen to what someone else said, what is a natural suggestion, and you will miss it. And so Christ, the rememberer and doer of all God's commands, when Satan tempted him, he remembered it was written in Deuteronomy 6, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He remembered it, and he said, get thee, tempt Satan. And the people came and tempted him, who was a type of Christ, and when he was tempted, he not only was willing to worship other gods, he was prepared to tell them how to make this golden calf, and he was the one who said, tomorrow we're going to have a sacrifice unto this golden calf. And so here is Aaron, a mirror of Christ as the type of the rememberer and doer of all the will of God. The whole world, you've heard that expression, I wouldn't do it for the world. The Lord Jesus would not, because Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them in a moment of time. And he said, I will give you this. And the Lord Jesus said, I will never fall down and worship you. And Aaron, because of the influence of the people, why, it seems as if he hardly had to be prodded, was quite prepared to make this golden calf and have the people fall down and worship it. And so, Aaron, you marred the type in Exodus 32. Now, in Leviticus chapter 10, we have Aaron as a type of the bearer of the iniquity of the children of Israel. Remember these words. If you think them over and later in life, you might understand them. But among the various ways in which Aaron represented Christ, he represented him as the bearer of the iniquities of the children of Israel in a twofold way. In what he wore on his head and in his eating of the sin offering. And I will show you that. Turn to Exodus 28. It will help you to understand it when you read the very words that God has given interpreting this forth. And twice they occur. In Exodus 28, and look at verse 36. Exodus 28, 36. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, engrave upon it, like the engraving of a signet, holy to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a lace of blue, and it shall be upon the mitre. Upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord, and so forth and so on. Notice, bear the iniquity of the holy things. Now, if you want to look at Leviticus 10 once more, since you have those words in your mind at this moment, look at Leviticus 10 once more. Bear the iniquity of the holy thing. That is represented by the golden plate on the mitre, but also in Leviticus chapter 10. It says in verse 18, behold, the blood of it was not brought into the sanctuary within. You should certainly have eaten it in the sanctuary as I commanded. Now, look at verse 17 before that. Wherefore have ye not eaten the sin offering in the place of the sanctuary, seeing it is most holy, and he hath given it you to bear the iniquity of the congregation to make atonement for them before the Lord, and so forth. What God said is that twice I want you representative of the sin bearer of Israel. You say, well, that's strange. I thought the animal was the sin bearer. You'll find that Christ is depicted not only in the animal that is offered, but in the priest who offers it, and in the tabernacle also, and the brazen altar upon which it's offered. All of it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God said that Aaron was showing that he was the sin bearer, not only by what he wore, but this very animal that was a sin offering. He ate that animal. And do you remember something else similar to it? The Lord Jesus said, the cup which the Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? And here God is vividly portraying that Aaron is the sin bearer of the children of Israel. And Moses says, where is the sin offering? It's consumed. Why have you not eaten it? Now, I want you to think of things for a moment. I want you to think of how strong was the Lord Jesus Christ. When John the Baptist, his dear friend, was put to death, the Lord Jesus did not cease his activity. No matter what sorrows came upon him, he said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. He did not fail. He prayed. He sweat as it were great drops of blood. But Aaron, in this chapter, says, such things have befallen me, and I can sympathize with the man. And I shan't go into explanations here about what he said, but you will find that of necessity Aaron was always an imperfect type because Christ had no sins to atone for. But when Aaron went into the Holy of Holies, he had to first of all atone for his own sins. And so that in itself was an imperfect representation of Christ. And so in like manner, so many things about Aaron were imperfect because of his own infirmities. And now he has just lost two of his sons, his two eldest sons, Nadab and Abihu. And Moses, in his strength, they're his nephews, remember that. Moses and Aaron are brothers, and his nephews have died. But it does not mean that the work of God is not to go on. And this is what happens so often in the lives of Christians. Some blow like this comes upon us, and then we say, well, I'm just going to give up. I can't do this. I can't do that. Well, the sad thing is that God, no matter what the circumstances are, wants the truth of God carried out in our lives. I think of this. If sorrow did enter my life, I think I would want to do more than ever the things God sets forth in His Word. And I thought of this. I remember speaking to a man. He's with the Lord now. And I said, well, will I see you at this meeting? He said, oh, no, he said, my wife is sick. I must go and be with her. I said, that's such a strange thing. If my wife were sick and she wasn't at the point of death, I would go to the presence of the Lord with the people of God and pray for my wife. I said, such a strange thing. But people think differently. And so here, an excuse of sorrow. I shan't explain it now. This is what Aaron does. And he mars the fact that Christ is strong in sorrow. And at the same time, he mars the type as bearing the iniquity of the children of Israel because he failed to eat the sin offering. All right. The other is found in Numbers chapter 20. And he was jointly responsible in marring this type with Moses. God wanted Moses to be a type of the sent one and the spokesman of God. But since Moses refused and failed in that personal responsibility, even though God said, I will be with your mouth, he failed. He said, here comes your brother Aaron. I know that he can speak well. And Moses had pleaded with God that he was not an eloquent man. I cannot speak. Well, let me ask you this. When the Lord said, I want you to speak, both of you, to speak to the rock, Moses, who said, I cannot speak, suddenly he became eloquent. He became fervent. He said, here now, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Why, Moses, I thought you said that you weren't able to speak. Suddenly, you are able to declare the sins of the children of Israel. Isn't this remarkable? If you had let your brother Aaron do it, but instead, now you are doing it. But now remember, Moses spoke, but he said, must we? God said, speak ye unto the rock. Now, what is the marring of the type here? Moses had so beautifully brought out the type of Christ, the smitten one. And I told you that God on occasion will not give us one type, but he will give us two types. In Exodus chapter 17, Christ is the type of the smitten rock from whence comes forth living water. In the book of Zechariah, Christ is the smitten shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. Twice smitten as a shepherd and as a rock. And God had told Moses what to do in Exodus 17, and Moses beautifully made that type. He did just what God told him to do, and water came out of the rock. But now this time, God says to him, the people want water again. What I want you to do, take your brother and take along the rod that you used to smite the rock before and speak unto the rock, and water shall come out of it. But instead of speaking to the rock, Moses spoke unto the people, and he smote the rock twice. Don't you understand that that destroys entirely the book of Hebrews? It says, for by one sacrifice he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. For Christ also hath once for all suffered for sins. And what God is seeking to set before our eyes is that having been smitten once in Exodus 17, all blessings flow out of Christ, not by a continual smiting, not by a constant sacrifice of the mass, but he is showing the one sacrifice of sins forever. And now, as the Lord Jesus and I read to it to you this morning, you pray to the Father, you speak to him, I'm never going to suffer again. But Moses now, along with his brother Aaron, has marred the type of blessings coming eternally from that once for all smiting in Exodus 17. Never smite again. Now speak, and in virtue of that rod. And Aaron the priest, he stands there with Moses. See what has happened in the past. Now speak to the rock, and I will remember that that rock was spoken, and in virtue of that rock being smitten the first time, you speak to it now, and waters shall come forth abundantly. But Moses and Aaron agreed together to smite the rock the second time. And Moses and Aaron together marred the type of Christ, the once for all sacrifice for sin. And Roman Catholics and Episcopalians that constantly are offering a bloody sacrifice, and those that are constantly having Christ suffering, contradicted what it says, else must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But he has not. God said the type was Exodus 17, and now Numbers 20, he is to be spoken to, never smitten again. But it looks as if they are right by the marred type in Numbers 20, but God said no. Now, there are times when a wife should speak to her husband, should consult with him. I'm thinking of this. Abigail was married unto Nabal, and in this instance, the word Nabal means a fool, and that's what his name was, and that's what it meant, and that's what he was. And Abigail saved his life, at least, for a little while. But I'm thinking of Ananias and Sapphira, who together agreed to tempt God. And I'm thinking now, Aaron and his brother, when two are together, it's harder to make a mistake. If Aaron had cautioned his brother, or if Moses is going to do something, he could be cautioned by Aaron, or if Aaron is going to do something, he could be cautioned by Moses. But they agree together, and evidently what Moses did was quite agreeable in Aaron's eyes. And if I ask you, why was Moses forbidden to go into the promised land? You say, because he smote the rock. Why was Aaron forbidden to go into the promised land? You say, because he, along with Moses, allowed him and agreed with him in smiting the rock. Then it was not Moses the marrer of types alone, but it was Moses and Aaron the marrer of types. Indeed, Aaron, you are guilty by yourself in making that golden calf and destroying the type of Christ, the rememberer and doer of all the will of God. And with your sons who failed, you have failed in representing Christ as a type of him who bears the iniquity of the holy things of Israel. But you, along with your brother, are responsible for marring the type. For by one sacrifice he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And so God caused them to pay for it dearly. Neither Moses nor Aaron got into the promised land. These things happen historically. They teach us morally, but at the same time they teach us typically. They would have been beautiful types, but perhaps they're strongly impressed upon us because they are destroyed types. Types made and marred by Moses and his brother Aaron. Let us pray. Now, Father, we marvel that you are able to depict the things that are going to happen in the life of your Son, in the lives of men that lived hundreds of years before the Word became flesh. We are glad that thou art a God who doth know the end from the beginning, knowing exactly what men should do, telling them exactly what they should do. And if they obey thee, then a perfect type of what thy Son is to do when he comes. We thank you for Moses and Aaron when they obeyed thee in the types that they made. And our Father, with fear and trembling, we would pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thou dost know how we ourselves, as thy children, have misrepresented thee, have marred types of those who are to be children of God, holding forth a word of light in the midst of a corrupt generation. And so, our Father, let us learn positively and negatively from all things contained in thy word. But we are thankful for the perfections of thy Son. We are thankful that there was one who could say, I do always the things that are pleasing unto my Father. We are thankful that our hope is upon him. And though we see glimpses and reflections of what he was to be in the saints of old, we see only perfection. We see light only in thy Son. We give thee thanks for him in his own dear name. Amen.